a book by Norman Vincent Peale entitled The Power of Positive Thinking has sold over 5 million copies. The Mayo Clinic has been doing research, and they have found that those who have a positive attitude in life have their stress reduced and are more healthy. And if you needed any more proof, Diana's putting on Spamalot, and at her school they're going to be singing, "Always look on the bright side of life." No whistling, please. So, we have all these messages out there how good it is to be positive. You know, it makes everything better. And yet, in the gospel today, Jesus seems to be, you know, Donnie Downer. You know, he's not giving us these positive messages all the time. He's pronouncing a woe. Woe to you. Why couldn't he have stopped with just the blessings? Why did he bring in these woes? Jesus kind of reverses the way we ordinarily think about things. We ordinarily think that, you know, it's really, really cool when you're blessed to be rich. Does anybody have that problem here? I don't know. When you're satisfied, when you're happy, when you're praised. And Jesus says, no. No, he says, woe to you. Woe to you who are hitting 6 good numbers. And blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are fat and sassy. And blessed are you who are hungry. Woe to you when you're partying all the time. And blessed are you who are in grief. Woe to you who are the top, the Tower of Pizza. And blessed are you who are picked upon. So somehow or other, if we're going to think like Jesus, we have to reverse the way we ordinarily look at things, because Jesus doesn't look at things the way that we do. And we have to learn to see things as he does, to have this reversal happen in our own minds and hearts. And how do we do that? What is the lesson? The thing that struck me, maybe that is the key to understanding how Jesus makes this switch, is in our epistle today, where we heard St. Paul tell us, you know, if our hopes are for this world only in Christ, we are the most pitiable of people. So this is the mind shift that Jesus makes. He says we have to look at things not just from the perspective of this world. We have to look at things from the perspective of the next world, or else we're pitiable. You know, if all you want in life is to be as rich as Bill Gates, you're pitiable. If all you want in life is to be as powerful as Donald Trump, you're pitiable. And for not a lot of the reasons, too. If all you want in life is to be as famous as Oprah, you're pitiable. That's what St. Paul's telling us. So we have to learn how to make this same reversal that Jesus makes and look at things from the perspective of eternity. Because what Jesus wants us to understand is that we're all on the underside of heaven right now. And so truly positive thinking happens when we see how we fit in this big picture beyond time. But we have to be careful, I think, when we start saying this, because Jesus does not praise the state of poverty or grief or disrespect. Jesus does not say, you know, blessed is poverty or blessed is grieving. As a matter of fact, the exact opposite. We know Jesus teaches us that we have this obligation as Christians to work against those things. We were told in the famous parable of the sheep and the goats, remember Jesus says, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Whatsoever you do to the least, that you do to me. So Jesus is not saying that, you know, well, we'll just let the poor get their blessings in the by and by. No, it's a personal address, if you noticed the way Jesus puts it in St. Luke's Gospel today. Blessed are you. And so what our Lord wants us to understand is that no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what we are going through, we can find a blessing there if we know how to look, if we can look at things from the perspective of eternity. That's the challenge that we have if we're going to genuinely heed Jesus' reversal, the way Jesus looks at things. We have to understand that all that we're going through in life is an opportunity for us to see as God sees. So that's the challenge that we have for today. We have to make sure that when we're evaluating things, when we're looking at things, when we're looking at what really matters in our life, we can understand them as Jesus understands them. You know, so okay, what's it like to think this way? Well, you know, maybe when we look at things from the perspective of eternity, I don't have to worry about the fact that I don't have a big mansion that I'm living in, because I know that I have a dwelling place in heaven reserved for me. When I look at things from the perspective of eternity, I don't have to worry about the fact that I don't have the finest clothes and my wonderful UGG boots, because I know I'm going to be robed in glory one day. From the perspective of eternity, I don't have to have the finest hat, because I'm going to wear the crown of grace. From the perspective of eternity, even when I am going through hunger and all I've got is some beanie weenies, I know that I'm going to have an invitation to the heavenly banqueting table. From the perspective of eternity, even grief does not get the last word. Because one day I'm going to join with all my loved ones when the saints come marching in. From the perspective of eternity, even when people are being disrespectful, I know myself as beloved of God, and they just don't understand who I truly am. So, church, this is the challenge that we're being given today. Can we learn to reverse the way we ordinarily look at things? Can we understand that how the world understands things is not correct? Yes, we have these weak and frail bodies that give out on us occasionally, that only have a certain lifespan, that are full of flaws. But from the perspective of eternity, that's not the last word. We have to see what God is doing with the likes of us. I'm reminded of a story. I heard it as a true story, and I'd like to think it was, but I'm not going to swear that it is. The bishops in the United States were meeting at the Omni Hotel in Washington, and the Omni was doing this big promotion. There are no problems, only opportunities. So everywhere you look, there's a big banner. There are no problems, only opportunities. When you checked in, they gave you this little flyer. There are no problems, only opportunities. And one of the bishops came up to the front desk and said, ma'am, I have a problem. Well, she was a good employee, and she said, well, there are no problems, only opportunities. He said, well, call it what you will, but there's a woman in the room you just assigned to me. Problem or an opportunity, you know? Today, we have the opportunity. Today, we have the opportunity to experience, even if we are experiencing the emptiness, the poverty, the need, that we can be filled with God's grace. Today, we have the opportunity to understand that even if we are hungry, that God's justice is there for the taking. We have to understand the opportunity that we have, that even in our grief, we can rely on God to make all things new. We have the opportunity today to know that no matter how people treat us, we can turn the other cheek and show them what God's grace is like. Racism is an opportunity because it enables us to come to know all God's children. We have the opportunity today to know that even if we are sick, the divine physician is there for us. And yes, death itself is an opportunity. An opportunity to throw ourselves in the arms of our loving God, who accepts us, loves us, welcomes us. And as we fall asleep in Christ, we share with him new life forever. Amen.